Are you glad to be in church? I am. I'm glad every weekend. There's no place like this, and there's nobody like you. So just pat yourself on the back and give yourself congrats for coming to church today. I'm glad you're here. Yeah, absolutely. And I want to say a big hello to our other locations, to our online location, all of you who are joining us digitally right now. We're glad you're here. And to everyone at our Hokesson location, our church family there, we love you and appreciate you. Newark, will you help me show some love to all of our locations? Yeah. Well, welcome to the final week of Undaunted, a series about living life boldly. If you are joining us for the first time, I'm very, very glad you're here. And I'll give you kind of just a quick refresher on where we've been over the past few weeks, but I do encourage you to go back and watch the messages on our YouTube channel. If the series interests you and you want to get caught up to speed, you can find the first three messages there. But week one, we saw that we don't have to be unlikable to live out our faith, just willing to be disliked. And there is a difference. So for all of us who've decided to follow Jesus, and that may not be you yet, but for all of us who said yes to following Jesus, that decision means placing what he values above our own preferences and desires, and at times, even the opinions of others. And it means putting what matters to him first. And again, you may not buy that yet, but for all of us who decided to follow Jesus, that was part of the package, right? We said, hey, you're a leader and Lord of my life, and I'm gonna put what matters to you first in my life. So week two, we were reminded that life is rarely controllable. How many of us have discovered that that's true? Life is rarely controllable, but we are always response-able. So while we cannot always choose our circumstances, we can always choose how we will respond to those circumstances, whether we saw them coming or not, by God's grace. And living an undaunted life means stepping up into our response ability, the ability to choose our response. And then last weekend, we learned that an undaunted life, a bold life, a courageous life, a confident life, is actually not the product of just standing alone all the time, but it's built on connected courage. And over time, our lives become a product of the God we believed in, the people we surrounded ourselves with, and the battles we chose to fight. And that really is the truth about how our lives take shape over time. So again, if you missed any of those, you can go back and watch them and get caught up to speed. But for today, have you ever had a moment in a relationship when you just couldn't figure out what the other person expected of you? Anybody had a moment like that? Anybody been dating, engaged, or married and found yourself wondering at some point, what do you want? You've been there, I've been there. It's just kind of part of relationships. How many of us have a boss or an employee and we've tried and tried, just can't figure out what makes them tick? Do you have that? If they're here in the room with you right now, just kind of raise your hand, just sort of, you know. Online, you know, you don't have the same effect, but you can indicate. Yeah, how many students, young adults maybe feel like your parents change their minds a dozen times a day? Just show of hands, just like, can you get it together, parents? I thought I could count on you. It's just part of relationships. So let me ask you this question. Wherever you land with faith, have you ever wondered if there is a God out there somewhere, what does he really expect of us, of human beings? And maybe that's a scary question for you. Maybe it's a loaded question. Or maybe you would say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know what God expects, but I can tell you that the people who claim to speak for God change their minds a lot. And it kind of goes up and down, and I'm just not sure what to believe or what to put my hope in or my trust in. And so as we wrap up the series today, my hope is that you will see what God really expects of us. At the end of the day, what God expects of us, and not just what he expects of us or from us, but what he wants to do in our lives and for us when we start to see his plan clearly. So let's dive in. Last week of the series, long, long ago, in a land far, far away, there lived a man named Abram. Now, you may have heard him referred to as Abraham, actually the same person who's the founder of the Jewish faith, which is where faith in Jesus, Christianity, ultimately came from. His parents named him Abram, which means father, great father, but God later renamed him Abraham, which means father of a multitude. So the name his parents gave him emphasized how great he was. The name God gave him emphasized how great an impact he would make. Okay, so Abram is just living his life, doing his thing, minding his business. When this happens, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Now, this hits home for me because I once left my native country. Some of you know, I was born and raised in Canada, grew up there, but when I was 18, I came to college in the U.S., I met a girl, I moved back to Canada, but then that girl imported me, I moved here, married her, and it was expensive, I'm not gonna lie, and I moved here, married her, and then just 2 weeks ago, I officially became an American citizen. It's official. Thank you. So I'm staying. Took me a couple decades to make that decision. Here I am, I'm staying. And so I left my relatives and my father's family and came to a land that God showed me, you know, and that Susie said God was showing me. So the difference, of course, is that Abram doesn't know anything about where he's going. I knew a little bit about what I was moving to, and I knew a little bit about this country, and the cultures at the end of the day were not so dissimilar that it was some huge jolt to my system, but Abram doesn't know anything about where he's going. All he knows is he's supposed to take this step of faith, leave what he's comfortable with, used to, and good at, go to a place that he's never been, that God is asking him to journey toward, and that's a big deal. It's a big ask. It's a lot to ask of someone, and so God doesn't just give him instructions to start the journey, but God gives him a series of promises about how the journey will ultimately end up. I will make you, God says, into a great nation. Now you have to understand, when this conversation is taking place, Abram is 75. Like 75, you understand, 75. And he doesn't have any kids yet. He can't, great nation, how is that gonna happen? I'm 75. How's that going to take place? But God says, this is how the journey's going to end. This is the end of the story. I'm going to take you all the way to the end. It'll look like this. I will bless you and make you famous. Not TikTok famous, because they didn't have TikTok back then. Facebook famous. I'm going to make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Now, for me, and I know there's really not a big correlation, but just it's how I know to relate to it. When I left Canada, parts of that were hard for me. I was leaving behind what I was used to, what I was comfortable with, what I knew. But it wasn't the last thing that God would ask me to leave. I left college after my sophomore year. Actually, in the middle of college, felt like God was leading me to go and speak in different churches, travel. I did that for 3 years. I didn't have anything booked when I started out. It was a big step of faith, but I'd run it by a mentor in my life and prayed about it and made that decision. Susie and I left the single life to marry each other, which was a huge step of faith for her. I'm telling you right now, like big step of faith. We left having no kids to journey to the land of having kids, you know? Step of faith. A few years later, we left working in the marketplace to start a church. It was a big step of faith. We didn't have any money, didn't have any team, didn't have any plan, but we just felt like it was what God was leading us to do. In fact, over these many years, not that many, I'm no Abram, but over these years, the only thing that Susie and I have not left, we haven't left God, we haven't left each other, we haven't left this community of faith. Those things have been consistent, and we intend for those things to stay consistent. But there have been a lot of moments when God asked us to take a step of faith, and I'd love to be able to tell you that each time we took a step, we knew exactly how it would turn out, but that's not reality. The reality is we just had this sense, if we will do this, if we will trust God, if we will take the step, in some way God is going to bless us, and more importantly, we think he might bless a few other people through us. If we'll do what God is leading us to do, it might not seem to make sense on the surface, it might not be the most financially practical thing to do or the most seemingly reasonable step to take. It may not seem like it's gonna give us the best shot at improving our bottom line, but if we will trust God, we'll just believe God, we think God's gonna ultimately bless us, we think God's gonna bless other people through us, and that's what Abram had, just this sense. If I'll do what God is asking me to do, he's gonna keep his promise. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. Here's what I've learned and what I continue to learn. What does God expect of me? A willingness to receive. He expects that I will have a willingness to receive. You say, receive what? Receive what he's showing me. God expects that I will stay open to his leading and his guidance and his direction and what he's showing me, what he shows me through his word, what he shows me through the Holy Spirit, what he shows me through teaching and healthy friendships with people who are going the same direction spiritually, following Jesus. God doesn't give Abram specific details here. He simply reveals the next step and then promises that in the end, it will be good. The middle is unclear, and it usually is. That's the problem, right? That's why we're often hesitant to take a step of faith, because we don't want to fast forward to the end. We want to fast forward to chapter 2. We're like, what's going to happen in 6 months? I need to know that everything is going to be resolved within my window of time. God does not promise that. God says, leave what you're used to, step toward what I have for you, and I will show you more along the way, which is why I expect you to have an openness to receive. I expect you to keep growing. Now, if you're brand new to your faith, exploring what following Jesus is all about, listen, you can kind of tune this next part out, but for all of us who've been following Jesus for a while, some of us have become spiritually fossilized. I expected exactly that response, because fossils don't say or do much in these moments. But come on, let's just be honest. Let's take it on the chin. We've been following Jesus for a while, and we're like, we got it figured out. It's what I do, but I don't do that. This is how much I pray, but I don't pray that much. This is how generous I am, but I'm not that generous. That's crazy. It's how much I serve, but I don't serve that much. This is how much I forgive, but you go here. I don't forgive, because ain't nobody could expect me to forgive that. We're fossilized. Someday, someone's going to come along, sweep across the dirt and be like, there's a Christianosaur. There it is. God says, Abram, all I'm gonna show you is the next step and tell you that in the end it will be good. Each step along the way, I need you to stay open. I need you to be willing to continuing to grow, continuing to get closer to me, not open in ways that would drift you away from me. I need you to stay open to getting closer and closer to me, learning and growing. Now you say, why does that matter? Because that's still how God works. Thousands of years have passed, and yet God has not changed. Until we are willing to receive what God has already shown us, he usually does not reveal the more that he has planned for us. And there's a step that has to be taken. In other words, what God has for us next is often waiting on our decision to do what he has shown us last. And that's how God works. And while what God has for us doesn't always literally mean leaving something or someone behind, it always means leaving a way of thinking. It means leaving a way of living that maybe we've gotten too comfortable with, and we stop being open to what else God has for us. And that requires faith, especially in the middle when we're not seeing results. Come on, anybody else ever found yourself in the middle? Like, you took the step, God promised in the end it would be good, but it's hell in the hallway. Fossils are nervous, but everybody else got that. Right? Like, you know God's going to open a door, but in between, you're fighting a battle, you're struggling, you're in the middle, and that's where God says, don't close up. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody today. Don't close up. Stay open to what I want to show you and what I want to do, even in these difficult seasons. What does God expect of me? A willingness to receive, and then the trust to believe. He expects that I will have a willingness to receive what he's showing me, and also the trust to believe in what he's planned for me, that I'll stay open and receptive. You say, well, aren't those the same thing? No, they're actually different. Because sometimes we agree in theory with what God's showing us. So God's asking us to take steps to grow, to get closer to him, to love people, to serve others, to climb over our pride or our sometimes our cowardice, and to live bold lives. And we agree in theory. You can tell by the way we nod our heads, but our feet aren't actually moving toward what God's asking us to do. So we become bobbleheads for Jesus. So if fossils didn't get you, bobbleheads it's gonna get you. Well, I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand at any of our locations, but the reality is, man, we've all been bobbleheads. Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. Need to go to church consistently.
Yeah.
I need to be connected. Oh, yeah, I know. I should probably be generous. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My life is not all about me. I know. But our feet aren't actually moving toward what God is showing us. And so we're kind of stuck, and we're not really believing in God's promises. We are acting like we're willing to receive, but we don't have the trust to believe what God has promised, which is the end of the journey will be good. So what does God expect of us? A willingness to receive what he's showing us, the trust to believe what he's promised us, and then a commitment to actually achieve what he's planned for us. I'm going to actually live this life. I'm going to take tangible steps to do what God is leading me to do. Here's what God expects. If you've ever wondered, what does he want? What's he up to? What makes him tick? God expects that people who come to him would stay open to what he reveals to us, that we would take him at his word, and that we would actually do what he leads us to do. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of like reactive, and I just heard a voice, and then I jumped. I think that's why God gives us scripture, so that we can bounce our revelations off of his main revelation. It's why God gives us community, so that we have other people around us who, when they trust Jesus, we can take their insights into consideration. It's why God gives us teaching. It's why God gives us the ability to read his word every day and to pray. But he expects us to be open to what he's revealing, to be trusting in his promises, and then to take steps in his direction. So you say, well, if I do that, what can I expect of God? Great question. I can expect that he will show us the next step, honor our faith in him, and ultimately bless us for what he has called us to do and for us doing what he has led us to do. So look again at God's promises to Abram. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So I think it's important to step back for a moment, not just get caught up maybe in the emotion of this idea of trusting God, but to ask some hard questions, especially if you consider yourself a skeptic when it comes to faith or Christianity or the Bible. I think it's important to step back and go, okay, did God actually do this? These promises were made 4,000 years ago. Did God follow through? So let's check it out. God told Abram, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Did God keep that promise? Yes, he did. The nation of Israel traces its origins back to this moment with Abram. This is when the Jewish nation actually began to take shape. It took many, many centuries, but eventually there was a great nation that traces its origins back to this promise. I will bless you and make you famous. Did God keep that promise? Well, we're still talking about Abram 4,000 years later, so I guess God kept that promise. He's famous. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. Did God keep that promise? Yes, if you read the rest of the story, the descendants of Abram were protected at times by God in often miraculous ways. That emerging nation of Israel, slaves in Egypt for over 400 years until we talked about this earlier in the series, God rescued them by his powerful hand. Those were the descendants of Abram that God had promised him. And God protected them and blessed those who blessed them and treated those who treated them with contempt, with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, that's a big one. That's a big promise to make to a dude 4,000 years ago. All the families of the earth will ultimately be blessed through you. Did that happen? Now, again, you may not buy this, but I would submit to you that an honest perusal of human history would tell you that this happened and continues to happen because Abram's faith led to a man named Jesus who through his death and resurrection began a movement that has blessed the entire world. God kept his promise. Now, there's kind of a narrative at times, and I wanna be very life-giving with this. You may not buy this, you may disagree, I get all of that. But there's kind of a narrative sometimes in our world that, you know, Christianity has been bad for the world overwhelmingly. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, there have been Christians who have been bad for the world. But the movement that Jesus started has blessed the world in so many uncountable ways. Caring for the poor, shelters for the hurting, speaking up for the vulnerable, study history, all began as Christian ideals. They came from people who took the teaching of Jesus seriously. You say, well, I've read the Old Testament, it's brutal. The whole world was brutal before Jesus came. In fact, if you look at history, you'll go back to the Old Testament and go, this is the least brutal. But the whole world was brutal until a man named Jesus arrived. Let me tell you about oppression and slavery. It existed in every civilization on this planet until Christians persuaded the world it was morally wrong. Study it. Not just Christian sources, study it out. You say, but there were Christians who participated in slavery. There have always been Christians who gave in to the system of the world around them. But it was ultimately Christians who took the teachings of Jesus seriously and believed in the inherent value of every human being being created in the image of God, who said, this is wrong and it needs to change. And all of that traces back to a guy named Abram who said, I will take the next step. I will do what God is leading me to do. Nearly every human right that people step up to and speak up for today, regardless of whether they even believe in God, started as a Christian ideal. It did not originate from atheism. I'm just telling you, study it out. It came from people who believed in the God that Abram believed in. No other religious or philosophical system in human history has ever dared to seriously suggest that the strong have a responsibility to care for the oppressed and the weak until the Judeo-Christian ethic changed the world, and especially Jesus changed the world. It's just reality. Now, I know you're like, that was a lot, man. You're intense. I know. And you don't have to agree. But you owe it to yourself to really look at it without the filter of whatever society says in the moment. You owe it to yourself because without the God that Abram believed in, the very idea of human equality and dignity and worth wouldn't even be a discussion. It's because people who believe that we were created by God have said, we need to talk about this. Have they landed on different sides of different issues? Sure, but they said, hey, we can't just not talk about this. We are not just random accidents in this universe. We're created in the image of God. We all carry the divine spark. Black, white, every race, every background, men, women, we all carry the image of God in us. We got to talk about this. Now, that's probably more than you asked for. But here's what it comes down to. One person's yes to God has changed the face of human history and continues to. You're in one of our rooms or watching online right now because Abram said yes to God. Think about that. Which means that you and I can expect that if we are willing to receive what God is showing us through his word and through teaching and through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit and through community, and if we will believe him and trust him and take him at his word, and if we will commit by faith to achieving the kind of life that he is leading us to live, he will bless us and make us a blessing to others. You say, will my story turn out like Abram's? No, your story will turn out like your story is meant to turn out, and it will be good. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. It will be good. All right, I want you to see one more thing in Abram's story. Check this out. Abram traveled. In fact, all of our locations, let's say that out loud. Abram traveled. So there was a journey. Didn't happen all at once. God didn't pick him up and transport him to the land he promised him. Abram packed his bags, traveled through the land as far as Shechem. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. Remember, he didn't have any yet. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, Abram what? Traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. And there he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord. Then Abram continued what? Traveling south by stages toward the Negev, which was in a part of the land that God had promised him. At each crossroads of his spiritual journey, Abram stopped and built an altar, a flat surface probably raised up with stones, where he presented an offering to God. And the New Testament of the Bible teaches us that as followers of Jesus, We are now that offering. We give ourselves to Jesus when we choose to follow him. Building an altar is a sign of recommitment to what? I receive what God has shown me. I believe what God has promised me. By faith, I will achieve what God has planned for me. That's what an altar does. It's an act of worship, elevating God above our current circumstances, pressures, problems, issues. In fact, if you're a middle or high school student or the parent of one, Rise Summer Camp, as you heard, is coming up in a few weeks. I want you to be there. Not if you're a parent, but I want you to drop your middle or high school student. Unless you want to serve, then we want you to be there. But if you're a middle or high school student, I want you to be there because I believe there will be moments during Rise that are like altar moments. Not literal surfaces raised up with stones, but moments where you can commit yourself to God and life-changing things can happen for you. I had that experience as a student. I want it for you. But I want you to notice wherever you are in your spiritual journey that Abram travels toward what God has for him by stages. Stages, not all at once. It's a process. Receive God's direction, take steps by faith, build altars of commitment, and make progress by stages. That's what God expects of us. And that's how we design this church. There is a path of spiritual growth. We gather on the weekend like this for worship and teaching. You know, I read recently that one of the greatest indicators of how we view the world is how often we go to church. Why? Because there's something about being in God's presence like this that shapes us for the better. So we gather on the weekend like this, and then throughout the week, we invest in the lives of people who don't know Jesus, and we invite them to experience God with us. We connect in J groups, groups of people doing life together. And then we practice a slot and spot. That's just our way of describing a time and place with God, where we read the Bible and pray every day because it shapes us. We serve on the J team, offering our time to make a difference in the lives of others. We give our first. We're generous, offering our treasure to honor God and to change the world. Why do we do all of these things? Because we are not just bobbleheads for Jesus. We take steps. We take steps. We take steps toward what God has for us, and that's how we build undaunted lives. We're not intimidated or discouraged by danger, difficulty, or disappointment because we're open to what God has shown us. We believe him and take him at his word, and we take steps. There's a young woman in our church who started watching online in 2020, and she grew up in another religion, not connected to Christianity, far from Jesus. She was in an abusive relationship. And as she watched online, God began to reveal himself to her. And she came to the point as God began to work on her heart that she put her faith in Jesus, watching online. She got in a group, started serving, and she recently completed the evening program of Journey Leadership Institute, which is a dream we have of raising up a generation of leaders to change the world for Jesus. She went through 9 months of learning more about God and learning more about leadership. And now she is helping other people experience God online. Yeah. When she first started taking steps of faith, and her family was not supportive. Her former circle of friends, not supportive. It was a moment when she felt alone, but she went all in to follow Jesus. And now God is blessing her life and blessing others through her. She has a sibling that she's brought who's started leaning into following Jesus and growing and knowing who God is. She went all in, and now her story is being written one altar at a time. One altar of recommitment at a time. I'm willing to receive. I have the trust to believe. I commit, I'm gonna achieve the life that God has planned for me by faith. So how about you? What is God calling you to leave behind? Maybe it's a thinking pattern. Maybe for some of you, it's a holding pattern. Maybe for some of you, what God's asking you to leave behind is the continual wishing that you could leave behind something that God has asked you to stay committed to. Abram left everything he knew behind, but then he stayed committed till the end of his life to what God had shown him. So what is it for you? Are you, as we wrap up the series, are you going to walk in circles indefinitely? Are you going to let your spiritual life fossilize? Are you going to be just someone who nods in agreement, but whose feet aren't moving toward what God has for you? Or are you going to take steps of faith to continue growing, to live an undaunted life? It's built one altar at a time. Are you going to lean into what God is leading you to do and who he's calling you to become? If you've ever wondered, what does God expect of me? If you've ever wished you knew, wish no more. Here's what God expects, what he's always expected. He expects you to have a willingness to receive what he's shown you. Then he expects you to have the trust to believe what he's promised you, which is that the end of the journey of a life lived for Jesus will be good. And finally, he expects you to have a commitment to achieve what he's planned for you. I'm not going to be somebody who just thinks about or even just prays about my faith. I'm going to be someone who lives it out. And if you'll live like that, what you'll find is that your growth happens by stages. One altar at a time, I recommit. So if you're taking steps to follow Jesus, can I encourage you today as we wrap up the series, don't stop. You're doing what he expects of you. You say, well, I don't see the results yet. That's because God is taking a long time to write your story, because it's gonna be such a good story. Give the author time. Don't quit, don't give up, don't throw in the towel. You're doing exactly what God expects of you, and what you can expect of God is that he will be faithful to what he's promised you. You can trust him, you can believe him. But if you're hesitating, let me encourage you, it's time to act. Maybe you've heard about J groups, but you've never gotten connected. There's still time. Join a group this summer. Do life with other people. Will you see results right away? Maybe, maybe not, but you'll be putting yourself in a place where you can be shaped to follow Jesus more fully. Maybe you've heard about serving, but you think that's just for people who have extra time on their hands. No, it's for you. Take the step. Maybe you know that God is leading you to spend time with him every day, to read the Bible, to pray. He's calling you to lean into that, but you've just been procrastinating it. Take the step of faith. Maybe you know God is leading you to let go of the resentment you've been lugging around. He's calling you to build an altar of commitment and put your bitterness on that altar and offer it up to God and say, God, I want to forgive. I want to let go. I want to be new. But you've been putting it off. Take the step. What God has for you next is waiting on your willingness to do what he has shown you now. Take the step. And if you receive that today, will you lift your hand? All over the room in Hocassin, just lift it up high. If you would say, I want to receive what God has shown me. And keep your hand up for a moment. Online, you can do this too. Wherever you are, just if you can, lift that hand. If you would say, I don't just receive it, I believe God's promises. Would you keep your hand up? I believe God's promises. I'm going to put my faith in him. And then keep it up just for a moment more. If you would say, not just that, I'm committed to achieving what God has planned for me. I'm going to live the way God has called me to live. I'm going to be bold about it. I'm going to live out my faith. Let me pray for us. Father, we love and honor you today. God, you are our creator. Jesus, you are our king and our savior. You are fighting for us. You've always fought for us. You love us more than we can imagine. You have great things in store for us. God, give us the courage. For all of us who profess faith in Jesus, give us the courage to keep taking steps in our spiritual journey, like Abram. We would travel, build an altar, travel, build an altar, travel. God, put a courage in us today. God, I'm praying over someone right now who has wavered, who has considered throwing in the towel, who's become weary in doing good. God, I pray that you will grip their hearts today with your grace and your courage and fire them back up for Jesus, your son. We're committed to achieving the life you've called us to live by faith. We can't do it on our own, but we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Help us live undaunted lives. That this series, maybe what I've said will fade, but that the moments we had stick. in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take one moment more and just talk to any of you who are in the room, New Ark, Hoke Essen, or you're online, and you've come to a crossroads today that you know you need God. Maybe you don't understand everything about faith. Maybe you have questions, but you know your heart is drawn and you know that you need Jesus in your life. I want to let you know today that you don't have to wait another moment. You don't have to wait for another opportunity. You don't have to put it off. If God's drawing you to Him and you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and rose again and you're willing to declare Him leader and Lord of your life, today can be your day. Now I'm going to lead us in prayer again, and if that's you, this will be your moment. Everyone around you, if you're in one of our physical rooms, will be praying, but this will be your moment, whether you're in the room or online, to put your faith in Jesus. So if that's you, all of us open our hearts up to God. Whisper out a prayer of faith right where you are, something like this. Jesus, today I'm trusting you. I believe you died to forgive me of the things that have kept me from you. My sins are forgiven. I believe you rose again and you are real. From this moment on, I'm going to follow you. And if that's you, or everyone around you, stay focused on God. If you would say, hey, count me in. I'm taking that step today, putting my faith in Jesus for the first time for real for me. I'm going to follow him. I want you to shoot your hand up. Just hold it up high. Everywhere you are, New Ark, Hoke Essen, and hold it up high. Online, type the word faith in the comments. Let us know if you're taking that step. Trusting Jesus with your life. And then everybody, will you help me? Come on, let's give Jesus all the praise, all the honor.